Hello, hello, my friend. Welcome to my studio. Today I'm going to share history, symbolism, and research about the Sphinx of Greece. Whenever I see its beautiful wings and lion's paws, it puzzles and inspires me to create. The Sphinxes look mystical, enigmatic, and surreal. I probably would paint one of them in the future. So when I went to Greece, I revived my interest in this art symbol. I found that the Greek sphinxes are different from the Egyptian ones. Moreover, the Greek art has some Near East influences. As a similar bird, the griffin shows up in the archaeology of Greece. Let's discover the history together to understand how ancient cultures developed, mixed, and created art with various meaning and symbolism. The Greek Sphinx figure, its history and influences. Both griffins and sphinxes are mythical creatures that show up in the archaeological museums in Greece. The Greek Sphinx figure shape seems to be a combination of the Near East griffin and the Egyptian Sphinx visually. The griffin originated in the Near East and got adopted by the Greeks in art. Griffins are frequently shown as protectors or guardians. They might be flanking entrances or royal figures. This is a golden figure of a griffin from the Delphi Archaeological Museum. The shape of the griffin. The griffin has the body of a lion and the head and wings of an eagle. The griffins have a powerful stance and curled tongues. They look menacing. This is a griffin shown at the Met. It's dated to 1250. The panel shows the mythical griffins as guardian figures of the dead and symbols of power and authority. The panel itself probably comes from a tomb, and according to the museum, griffins may have meant both to protect the people buried within the tomb and to symbolize their royalty status. Okay, this is a griffin figure from the Knossos Palace in Crete. This fresco of high relief griffins decorated the Great East Hall of the Palace of Knossos. This hall, located next to the Grand Staircase, was used for official ceremonies by the palace rulers. And this fresco dates from 1600s BC. In my opinion, griffins in Knossos don't look menacing at all. They rather appear decorative and kind. I also saw many examples of the bronze heads of griffins. Some of them were located in Delphi. This one is displayed at the Met. It was found in Olympia, Greece. According to the museum's description, bronze cauldrons were set on tripods or conical stands. Cast in bronze, griffins' heads decorated the cauldron rims that stood in Greek sanctuaries between 8th and 6th centuries BC. Some of the cauldrons were colossal. Over 600 similar griffins exist today, with most of them found in the sanctuary of Zeus at Olympia. And I took this picture at the Archaeological Museum in Delphi. It looks like a demonic Sphinx figure, although it could also be a griffin. The facial expression and multiple hands remind me of the Indian gods as well. There were several golden plaques like this one in the museum showing these demonic creatures. The Egyptian Sphinxes. The Egyptian Sphinx is a creature with a lion's body and a human male head. The Egyptian Sphinx typically possesses a pharaoh face, blurring the lines between the human and the divine to symbolize the enduring power of the ruler. Egyptian Sphinxes had no bird features and were associated with protection and power. And this one is Sphinx of Tennis, located in the Louvre. These figures served as guardians of the dead, often flanking tombs or standing watch at temples. Over a long period of time, the Sphinx evolved as a concept, with variations featuring the head of a ram or a falcon depending on the specific deity being honored. Egyptian sphinxes were primarily crafted from limestone, but granite was also used to carve the detailed figures. These are seals found in the Knossos Palace in Crete, and Egyptian scarabs and seals with scenes rendered in the typical naturalistic style of the 1650s BC. These are various Greek figures created in the Egyptian style I saw in Greece. Look at the awkward anatomy of these figures. It seems to me that the Greeks were inspired by the Egyptian art, but learning the human anatomy and proportion took time to master. And so from left to right, we can see the Egyptian style figures displayed in Athens, archaic period figures, 7th century BC, displayed in Crete, and Egyptian style figure shown in Eleusis, and the 6th century BC statues displayed in Delphi from the Temple of Apollo. By looking at the sculptures as an example, we can say that the ancient Greek art was strongly influenced by the ancient Egyptian art. The Assyrian sphinxes. These are the examples of the Assyrian sphinxes I found on the website of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Although they have the sphinx shape, their heads can vary, and we can see a ram-headed sphinx, a head of a man in a striding sphinx. Okay, the Greek sphinx emerges. The Sphinx was a mythical being with the body of a lion, the wings of an eagle, and the head of a woman. Some could have a long tail. Sphinxes are depicted in a seated position, often with a strange smile and facial features resembling ancient Near Eastern art. The Greeks adapted the Sphinx concept as guardians of the dead from Egypt through trade and cultural contacts. Greek sphinxes appeared before the 12th century BC. Then they kind of disappeared and reappeared. The images appeared on coins, pottery, and funerary monuments as grave steel. Grave steels. These date from 600 and or 500 BC. This is taken from the museum's description. The funerary monuments appeared on the graves of important people starting from the Mycenaean period. There is little information available on the earlier geometric period in Greece based on today's research, and there is more archaeological information available dating from the late geometric period. The excavations in Attica, which is a region in Athens, revealed the findings of large vases, amphoras, and crates that depicted the mourning scenes and other objects of the dead that functioned as the funerary monuments. Grave marks were small plain stones during that time period. From the end of the 7th century BC, the tombs got marked with a monumental steel, which was either incised, painted, or done in relief. The early grave markers were tall and narrow. One side of it represented the deceased. They were crowned by a finial in the shape of a concave molding, influenced by the Egyptian art. In the first quarter of the 6th century BC, the finial was low. Later it became taller and more elaborate, with incised or relief decorations with leaves, rosettes, lotuses, and rare human figures. The finial topped the demonic figure of a sphinx, the guardian of a tomb. Around 550 BC, the form of the finial becomes even more elaborate, with double volutes that assume the shape of an inverted lyre. The Sphinx remains the principal element of the crowning. This steel type dominates Greece until about 525 BC. Around 530 BC, the overall form of the steel changes again. It becomes lower and narrower, and the Sphinx usually placed on the finial gets replaced by two single or double volutes with the Anthemian design consisting of radiating petals, influenced by the Ionian and Egyptian art. Many of these grave markers had a painted decoration representing the deceased and various animals like horses, roosters, dogs, and so on. The name of the dead appeared written in the possessive case at the bottom of the steel or on its base. The largest and most important group of the archaic funerary steels comes from Attica, with representations of athletes and warriors. It's rare to find other figures depicted on steels. Besides Attica, other places manufactured the grave markers in Greece. The grave steels were smaller, found in Aegean Islands and Ionia. In the 6th century, they were also crowned with the Anthemian and showed various figures such as the youth, young women, children, and elderly men. The islands, Ionia, and other areas of Greece produced grave steels without interruption. In Attica, however, the production of funerary stones ceased around 6th century BC. One of the rulers prohibited the use of luxurious memorials. Reintroduction of the funerary monuments in Athens takes place during the Peloponnesian War around 430-420 BC. And in the marble steel displayed at the Met, the youth on the shaft is shown as an athlete with an oil flask suspended from his wrist. Athletics were an important part of every boy's education in ancient Greece, and oil was used as a cleanser after exercise. So he holds a pomegranate, a fruit associated with both fecundity and death in Greek myths, perhaps indicating that he had reached puberty before his death. The Sphinx crowned a funerary steel as a symbolic protector for the deceased who came from a powerful clan. And this monument stood in Attica, where people could see it from a great distance. Next, this is the base of the giant Naxian Sphinx. The colossal Naxian Sphinx stood on a 12-meter-high Ionic column in ancient Greece. Today, the giant Sphinx is on display at the Museum of Delphi. Mentioned in the myth of Oedipus, the Sphinxes were linked to the primitive cults. They were considered to be the guardians of tombs and sanctuaries, placed as funerary monuments or and votive offerings. A highly popular image in ancient Greece, the demonic Sphinx, colossal statue of the Sphinx of Delphi, was offered by the Naxians in the 6th century BC. The Naxian Sphinx got created around 560 BC, preceding the construction of the Sifnian Treasury, a building at the ancient Greek cult center of Delphi, in which the priests hosted the offerings from the city of Sifnos. The building stood on the Sacred Way road going through the sanctuary of Apollo. Naxos, a wealthy island in Greece, sent a gigantic offering to the sanctuary of Apollo of Delphi, the statue of the mythical Sphinx. Its colossal size, imposing appearance, and location in the sanctuary In the foreground of the polygonal retaining wall of the temple commemorated political and artistic supremacy of Naxos in the archaic era. This demonic creature with the female face and enigmatic smile was supposed to be a warding off the evil. Placed on the capital of a 12-meter-tall Ionic column, the Sphinx became the oldest element in the Ionic order in Delphi. Carved from a huge Naxian marble block, the Sphinx shows solid structure with beautiful rendering of the hair, chest and wings, giving the impression of lightness. Dated to the 4th century BC, the incised inscription on the column's base states that the priests of Apollo honored the people of Naxos with the privilege that is priority in receiving an oracle. So what does the Greek Sphinx mean? A lot of ancient Greek sphinxes are found as grave offerings in tombs, funerary monuments, and sacred vessels and palaces. While the meaning of a Greek Sphinx appearing on an ancient vase can probably vary some, most of the monuments seem to be connected to the vault of the dead. The demonic creature was supposed to be warding off the evil, being the guardian of tombs and sanctuaries placed as funerary monuments. For example, the Sparta Sphinx is one of the most beautiful, well-preserved Greek sphinxes seen in Athens today. Originally found in the Athens airport area, the statue of a sphinx was erected as a finial of a grave steel in Attica. And this is one of the earliest known archaic sphinxes. It was made of a pentelic marble around 570 BC. And it was a luxury funerary monument. And the replica of the Sphinx is exhibited at the airport's museum. The Greeks placed the statues of a Sphinx as finial of a grave steel or as a luxury grave monument to be the guardians of the dead, similar to how sphinxes were viewed in Egypt. The Greek Sphinx was also associated with riddles and challenges. The demonic statues were also decorative elements in small vases and perfume boxes. And here are some sphinxes and griffins incised on tombs, decorations I saw in Eleusis in Greece. Eleusis was an important ancient Greek cult center that got destroyed with the rise of Christianity. Ancient Greek vessels showing the statue of Sphinx. This is a black figure amphora showing the Sphinx figure, and it's a storage vessel. It's displayed at the Tampa Museum of Art, and this elegant large Sphinx is painted in the shape and Chalcedon painting style of black figure vases. The name of the style comes from the Greek town of Chalcis, but thought by many scholars to have been produced in South Italy. Large Sphinx figure is painted on a vase exhibited in Eleusis, the cult center. It was made in the 7th century BC. During that time, the population of Eleusis declined, probably due to drought and famine. With high child mortality, the majority of the burials consisted of infants and toddlers buried in jars. This amphora depicting a winged sphinx was used for a toddler burial, which is, I think it's a very sad story, but anyways, archaic artisans were experimenting with new decorative patterns and techniques coming from the East. So these amphoras were basically burying vessels for, you know, babies. And this is a terracotta stand found in Attic, dated to 520 BC. color. Polychromy means many colors in Greek. Artists painted the statues of the Sphinx, figures, and other sculptures using very bright colors, including blue and red. Traces of use are left on the archaic limestone sphinxes dating from the early 6th century BC. The Sphinx displayed at the Met shows traces of cinnabar red, yellow ochre, carbon-based black, and blue pigments. According to the researchers at the Met, they identified two blue pigments. The Egyptian blue, which is a synthetic color developed in Egypt in the late Bronze Age, and azurite blue. Expensive cinnabar red was imported from Iberia, which is Spain, and the red ochre was made of hematite. I'm including the links for this research in the description below. And these are the colors used in ancient Greece to color their monuments, as seen in one of the archaeological museums in Athens. The display shows the original pigments coming from various regions beyond Greece itself. Fragments of a white stone show colored wings dated at 570 BC. Lapis, the blue color, consists of many minerals, mainly lazurite coming from Afghanistan. Conicalcite, green, malachite, and azurite pigments come from the mines. White comes from the Western Melos Island. Yellow comes from the copper mine in Cyprus and consists of jarosite. And other pigments come from different islands in Greece. And there is also a display of synthetic pigments of white and blue. And the Egyptian blue is marble powder, quartz, copper, and alkali cooked at 860 degrees Celsius. Other popular materials: ivory. The raw material of elephant ivory and hippopotamus ivory came from Near East and Egypt. Elephant ivory was a resort for large and expensive art pieces, luxury objects, and even the chariot parts. According to the Linear B text, ivory had inlays with gold, silver, and blue glass. Ivory objects or plugs depicted the human figures, griffins, sphinxes, or animals in relief. There was also miniature art done in bronze and gold. And during the Neopalatial period, Minoan artists specialized in miniature art, producing works in gold and ivory plugs and mold cast inlays with different materials, such as glass paste. Their artistic motifs included images of nature and sacred symbols, Oedipus and the Sphinx mythology. Two-handled amphora depicting Oedipus and the Sphinx of Thebes, made in classical period 450 BC, embodying danger, destruction, and riddles, the most famous Greek Sphinx is the one guarding Thebes in the story of Oedipus. This Sphinx presented a deadly riddle to travelers, devouring those who couldn't answer it. No one could until the day Oedipus showed up. The riddle said, "What is that which has one voice and yet becomes four-footed, two-footed, and three-footed?" Oedipus gives the answer that it is a man. He is four-footed as a baby, he walks on 2 feet as an adult, and gets the third foot again when he gets old. Oedipus, King of Thebes, is a classic Greek tragedy of fate and free will. King and queen of Thebes learn from an oracle that their son will kill the king and marry Jocasta. So horrified, they try to prevent this by piercing the infant's ankles. hence the name translates as swollen foot. So they abandon him on a mountain. And a shepherd finds the baby and takes him to the king and queen of Corinth, who raise him as their own. And years later, Oedipus consults an oracle and receives the same chilling prophecy: he will kill his father and marry his mother. Believing his Corinthian parents to be his true ones, he flees Corinth to escape this fate. And on his journey, he gets into an argument with an older man at a crossroads and unknowingly kills him. He then arrives at Thebes, where the city is plagued by the Sphinx, a creature who devours travelers who cannot answer her riddle. Oedipus solves the riddle, defeating the Sphinx. And as a reward, Oedipus is declared the new king and marries the widowed queen Jocasta, his biological mother, thus unknowingly committing the sin of incest. They have children together, and so a plague falls upon Thebes. Seeking the cause, Oedipus uncovers the truth of his past through a series of revelations, including a blind prophet and a shepherd. And so, realizing the horror of his actions, Jocasta takes her own life, and Oedipus, in despair, blinds himself. He is ultimately exiled from Thebes, condemned to wander with his daughters as his guides. Tragic end of Oedipus served as the ultimate lesson in Delphic theology. It means that all humans should live a life of virtue, knowing that their fate has been predetermined by the gods. The story explores themes of faith versus free will, the power of knowledge and self-discovery, and the devastating consequences of defying the gods' will. The Sphinx mythology remained a popular motif in Greek art and literature for centuries, and was revived in the 19th century European art. Oedipus and the Sphinx by Gustave Moreau. Some engravings, and I think what's interesting is the painting by Enger. He painted several copies, refining his composition and even reversing the figures in a mirror-like image. One of the paintings is displayed at the National Gallery in London, and the reversed one is in the Walters Art Museum. The London's picture looks like a developed sketch, and the finished one is in the Louvre, dated to 1808. So when I decide to write an article about any subject, it quickly spirals into a rabbit hole of endless information. While I start with my basic knowledge on the subject, it becomes an extensive research based on my travel photography, books, and descriptions written at the art museums. It takes me weeks to produce one article of this kind, and I hope you enjoyed reading about the origins and artistic development of this enigmatic Sphinx figure. And that will inspire you to create and share this story with your friends. I'm also including the links. The Met Museum has many images and information about the Sphinx. Thanks so much for watching, and check out my website veronicasart.com.